Check. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
All right. All right.
Okay. What do you want, though?
All right. Do you mind getting a little closer here so I can... Yeah, that's good.
Hello.
That way I can put it in your...
Is this the microphone here?
Yeah, it's in that area right there.
Okay.
We'll give this another go and see if it works.
We'll find out. See how crazy your mother is.
Yeah.
And no, you'll know why your mother is crazy. But everybody put on her driver crazy. Yeah. Okay.
What year you were born?
I was born November 30th, 1931.
That was a long time ago.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
What's 1931 famous for? It was pretty deep into the Depression at that time, right?
It was the Depression. And that's why I am a Democrat, because there was a Depression and there was breadlines, and other people said it wasn't a breadline or whatever they said. But there was breadlines because I saw it on Channel 12, the public station. They put the truth on. Yeah. So, what am I talking about?
Yeah, how did the Depression affect your parents? Well, why don't you introduce you? Who are your parents?
Oh, my mother was, excuse me, Ida Clean Morrissey, and she was, and my dad was Patrick Lawrence Morrissey. Yeah. And you were
raised here in Peoria.
Yeah, and they ran a grocery store, which in your life never run a grocery store. It's terrible. And they ran a grocery store. They did the best they could, I guess.
How did they get in the grocery business?
Well, there was a cousin who built the store, and she got sick or something, and it was up for sale, so they bought it from her, got a loan, and bought it. Because he didn't have a job or anything. They thought, well, he would have a job. They wanted to get married or something like that. That's the best I understood it, yeah.
And where was it at? What was the address?
207 North Park Place, Peoria, Illinois. We were across the street from a beautiful little park. And the park was really nice. It had green grass, sidewalks, and in the center was a monument to World War I with my dad's name on it. And in the other corner, yes, and in the other corner, there was a monument to my brother of World War II, his name on it. So I don't know what happened. So the Great Park District tore down my dad's monument, tore down my brother's, tore up all the green grass, got rid of all the cement walks. You had to walk through mud if you wanted to get through there. And there were people who lived down a ways, who worked downtown, who had to walk through the park every day to get to work. And they tore up all that sidewalk, and they had to walk through mud. This is our great park board. Nobody cares. I often wondered what happened to my dad's monument. It was a metal. It was something you couldn't get rid of.
What year was that?
Well, let's see. I was way older. I was out of high school. I would say about 1950, maybe.
Mm. Did they have was there some plan to do something with that space?
They built a place to play ball game. But they had a ball game on the other end, which they hardly ever used. But they decided they wanted another one. So they turned this one spot into dust and mud. And that's all it was. They turned a beautiful little park with trees and grass, nice, really beautiful. into mud and dust.
What was it like living? You lived above the store, correct?
Yeah, and to the side. To the side, we had the kitchen and the dining room and stairways that went upstairs, yeah. Stairs, yeah.
What was it like growing up in the 30s?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just a little kid. I played around the store. I played with the other kids around the neighborhood. And I just played around everything. I didn't go too much. I think I went around the block. And I went over to the park just a little bit, not a whole lot.
What was Peoria like then compared to today?
Oh, it's changed completely. It's changed since you kids were here. Yeah.
How so?
Well, I haven't been downtown for a long time, but I don't think I'd know it if I went down there. Yeah. Downtown's all gone. I don't know. I like downtown, too. I enjoyed going downtown.
How would you describe downtown back when you were a kid?
Oh, it was nice. They had all the stores down there. I went to school, you know, at Sacred Heart. And from Sacred Heart, I could look down. You'd almost see the river. And then there was Block and Cool and dime stores. I used to like to walk down to them. Of course, I never had any money, but I liked to go anyway. And I would walk down there and go to Block and Cool. Kresge's was up over on the same street as Block and Cool. I'd walk there. And there was a Woolworth. Yeah, I'd like to go there. Yeah, that was nice. And on the other end, there was Montgomery Ward and Sears. Yeah, they were good stores. And nice stuff.
We were talking earlier today. You were going on and on about how much you enjoyed the movies.
Oh, yeah, I went to the movies twice a week. Went to the Madison and the Palace. They were right downtown. I knew where that was, so I wouldn't get lost. It was about a block away from the church. Dumb kid. Yeah. So I went to the Madison Palace. Yeah. Saw all the movies. Yeah. I liked them, too. And then as I got older, there was a girl. She lived close, and we used to go together. So I had a girlfriend to go with every week. So we went to the movies together for a long time, yeah.
You know, I read that one thing that was interesting about the movies back then is they were air-conditioned and nothing else was at the time.
Oh, yes. It was wonderful. I remember that, going to a movie, and oh, it's cool. Yeah. Yeah. It was nice, yeah. Yeah.
And I know, too, there were still horses then?
Oh, yeah, when I was younger, our garbage used to be hauled by horses. And the garbage was always, it was open. They'd take the can and dump it like that. There was no plastic, black plastic bags. And they would go around and... I think there was flies there. I don't really remember. But that's the way they picked up the garbage for a while. Then they quit. They started having an old, you know, more closed, yeah, the garbage truck. They still dumped the garbage like that. But the truck wasn't open. The garbage was still kind of open, if I remember. Yeah. And then there was a farmer, you talk about horses, there was a farmer who used to come in to town, and he'd sell my dad fresh corn. Oh, God, believe how good that corn was. When we'd get the corn, that's all I'd eat. I wouldn't eat anything else for supper but corn. Oh, so good. And he had horses. He would come in and have his horses, and we'd get the corn. Yeah. And if I remember, I think the garbage trucks were pulled by horses, but I'm not real sure. But I can remember there was horse droppings on the streets, and you had to be careful where you walked. Then I'd walk over to the park, you know, to go through it. Yeah, you just step over. Yeah. Nice and sanitary.
I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
That's just the way it was.
I could, because it probably stunk to high heaven in the summer in August.
You know, I don't know if it did or not. I don't remember. I think it would be dried up pretty much.
Yeah.
I think it dried up. I think we had street cleaners then.
Yes.
I bet they came around and cleaned.
And I know Grandma Morrissey, your mom, Ida Kay.
Yeah.
Was raised on a farm. Sometimes you go out there and visit that farm, right?
Oh, yeah. We used to, when I was younger, we used to go out there quite a bit in the summertime. I was real little then. Yeah, that farm was something else.
How would you describe that?
Well, now I would describe it as an old house that you never hardly spent any money on. It was, they didn't believe in spending money. And it had a pump outside. We used to get the water from there. And it had a pump inside with a little sink. But you didn't drink that water. You only drank the water from the outside one. I guess the one outside was more pure. And the house had a great big old stove that burnt coal, or they burnt corn cobs. They used to, for some reason or other, they had a corn cob sometime. And you put the corn cobs in here, and then this grates and everything were on there, and my mother would cook right around there. And then, and then you'd put cool stuff in there.
So your grandparents, they were Germans from Germany?
Yeah, somewhere in Germany. I'm not sure where. Because my mother never really told the truth about everything, so you never knew what she meant. But I heard that she said her mother wore wooden shoes. So I thought maybe that was because they were close to the river. You know, they had, because it was wet. That's what I thought. I don't know if anybody else thought that. And but they were from Germany. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe, if I recall, she said she was from Emden, Germany,
yeah,
which is very close to the Netherlands, and they wore wooden shoes back in those days, close to the water.
That sounds like the truth. But my mother did not always tell the truth. She would tell me things, and I would say, well, I just said that. That was her opinion of telling what she wanted, the way she wanted things to be. You know, that never was, yeah. Yeah, so, and I was fascinated by the farm. It had a red a barn, and when I was real little, they had horses. And the horses were in the barn, and I was afraid of the horses. I didn't want to get too close. They were big. And they had a windmill and a great big thing where the cattle and horses could get their water. That windmill would pump the water up all the time. It was going all the time. They had milk cows way up the road from where the red barn was. And that's where they would milk, way up there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also, what made that farm a little different, they had a sand pit. There was a place back there that was full of sand, and they sold the sand. There would be big trucks coming in on occasions that would come in and get the sand and then haul it out. And when the other kids were there, we would go up and we'd look at the deep hole where they got the sand out. It's a wonder we didn't die in there and go down in there. You know, I thought of that later. But we never went down into it. We just looked at it. Yeah, and there was a sand pit. So I thought that was one way you could tell where that farm was, because I'm not sure exactly where it was. It was off of 36 or 136, whatever it was.
It was down near San Jose, right? Right. Yeah. That they pronounced it J-O-S-E. They pronounced it Jose, right? Yeah.
San Jose, the way to pronounce, German way to pronounce San Jose, San Jose. The correct way is San Jose.
Well, how was their English? How was your grandparents' English?
You know, I don't remember. I spoke to my grandfather, and I could understand him. You know, he talked to me a little bit. You know, we'd do that. But my grandmother, I never talked to her too much. She never said too much to me. But when my mother would talk about her mother, she would put an accent on. My mother would talk in an accent the way her mother talked. So I guess my mother talked, my grandmother talked with an accent. Now, this is what I've got out of this. You can make sense what I'm saying. My mother didn't talk with an accent, but I think her mother talked with an accent. But I don't remember my grandmother. The thing I remember my grandmother is that she'd sit out on, they had a big porch. They had this wooden thing when she would do butter.
Churn.
She'd sit there and do that. And also, we would peas. Peas came in a pod. And we would get the peas out of the pod. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember your mom, Ida Kay, my grandma, mm-hmm. saying that when she was a little girl, she spoke German, but she'd kind of forgotten it all, I assume, right? And after she'd gone to school?
Okay. I asked my mother. I says, I knew you spoke German when you were little. Do you remember any of it? No, I don't remember none of that. I forgot it all. And she was lying. She never forgot any of her German. It would come right back to her. She could speak German, but she didn't want anybody to know. She didn't want anybody to know she was German. Isn't that craziness? You ever heard?
Well, I think in the First World War, there was a lot of animosity against the Germans.
Yeah, but this is 1940s and some.
Well, I think we had a war then, too, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, we did have another one. But why would she lie to me? I knew she was lying because she did understand German, and she could speak it. Because when we were down there, just my mother and I, my mother and her mother would sit and talk in German. And my mother was strange. And they'd be speaking English, and all of a sudden they'd start speaking in German. And that always irritated me. Because it's like a big secret. We don't want this person to hear. And I knew that's what they were talking about. So I'd get up and leave. I'm not going to listen to that. Like, what do I care about kind of will everybody made? And what brother or son bought what farm? You know, it was
gossip.
Yeah, what little 5, 6, 8 years old cares about that? But boy, she didn't want me to hear that. And that so irritated me, made me so mad. I thought, you know, to speak German so a person who didn't even care about what you're talking about. So.
Yeah, your mom was a character.
Oh, she had to tell you.
Pat Morrissey, did he come from the farm too?
Yeah, but I think he left the farm when he was young. They had a farm, Princeville, around there. His parents had a farm, and he left. He had to go to work, and he worked different places. He lived in, I think, in St. Paul, Minnesota. He worked up there, and he worked for the trolley place. He got a streetcar, and he worked there. And back then, when you collected money, you stood outside the streetcar to collect the money. Well, it gets cold in St. Paul, and he had to stand out there in the cold, and he got sick. So that didn't work out. And then World War I came on, and he got drafted into the Navy. So he went to the Navy. He said he was in Liverpool. They sent him over there. And I think he was in France, too. He never hardly ever talked about it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Never said too much. But, yeah.
You never ever went to the farm up in Princeton?
They were all dead by the time I was born. Everybody died. My grandparents died. I had aunt and uncles, my Anna and my Uncle Tommy. And I had different uncles, but they lived different places. They worked in Peoria. One lived in Indiana. My one uncle, Walter, lived in Indiana. And my Uncle Tommy and Aunt Anna, they lived in Peoria. He was a plumber. He was a really good guy. And he lived in Peoria, worked for Crawley Brothers. Yeah.
Tell me about your brother, Lawrence.
Oh, I don't know. He's my brother.
Yeah, now, how much older was he than you?
5 years, quite a bit. 5 years. We used to play together. We used to play cards, play rummy. But he was kind of older, so we didn't really do that much. You know, I don't know what he did. I didn't really pay any attention about what he did. I was not interested. I don't know what he did. I know what I did on Saturdays. I don't know what he did on Saturdays. I think he went up to our cousins and the kids he went to school with, because he went somewhere. He learned how to swim. He went different places. So I was not really interested in what he did. You know, he was just there when we ate. At night, you know, different, yeah.
He was off living his life. They were all Irish on that side, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're nice. Irish are nice. Shake your head, yes. Germans are strange. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And we're all German. Probably born German, yeah. German than that. One reason why I wanted you to be named Patrick, because it's Irish after my dad. That's why you got the name. And I wanted Eileen because it's Irish. And Eileen's Irish name.
It is.
So, yeah.
I'm going to stop it here.
Okay.
And then I'm going to save that file. What I'd like to do now is ask you about school. Where'd you go to school?
Oh, I went to school Sacred Heart. First school I went to was Lincoln. I went to kindergarten, which I just loved. She was the greatest teacher in all the world. I remember her for some reason or other, and she opened the world up to us kids that never even thought about it. She should have us look at the sky. She said, look at the sky. And think, well, I never looked at the sky before like that. And then I think she had musical instruments, too, if I remember. And of course, I couldn't tell any difference between them. But she played them anyway. She was just wonderful. I thought she was the greatest teacher in all the world. And years later, when she retired, everybody loved her. And they had a big to-do when she retired. But everybody loved her. All teachers were like her. Oh, it was wonderful.
What was her name?
I have no idea. I can't remember. Remember, I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
I was young. I was really young. Yeah, but I read the paper about her later. I should have remembered, but yeah. Well, she was wonderful. Then I went to Sacred Heart. That was about 5 blocks up the road. That's right next to the Sacred Heart Church. I had a school there. And that's where I went to school for 8 years. Yeah.
So that's a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Why not just stay at the public school? Since it was such a positive.
Because we were Catholics. We still are. We went to Sacred Heart. Went to Sacred Heart Church. Went to school there. So it was okay. It was a nice school. Kids were nice. But, you know, also, as I look back, there was different people would move in and out. I think it was a downtown school, and I think people would come in, and their fathers worked different places, and they put the kid in this school and then worked here for a while. Then they had to go somewhere else. Because if I remember, there was kids came in and out.
All the time.
Yeah. And I didn't even realize it at the time. They were nice. Everybody was nice. The school was nice. But also, that was the time when polio was around. And I remember, I was always kind of afraid of polio. And there was a kid. It wasn't polio. It was something else this kid got. I can't remember. Well, anyway, I had the shot. What are different diseases? Well, anyway, this disease went around. I'll remember it later. And one kid died, and other ones got it. They were pretty sick, if I remember. They were behind me in school. I had gotten the shot from the doctor, and I didn't get it. But these other kids did, and one girl told me how sick she was. Diphtheria, does that sound right?
Maybe.
What was it? Oh, I can't remember. Well, anyway, one kid died, and one got sick, and some other kids got sick, but one died. And I remember that. So I've always believed in shots. And for some reason or other, polio was around then, and I was always afraid of polio because that crippled you. Yeah. If you could put all this nonsense together, well, that's just the way my mind was working, yeah. So... Yeah. Yeah, and I graduated from school.
So you were there for
8 years.
I guess 8 years, right? Right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a nice school.
What about your teachers?
Oh, some of them were okay, some of them weren't. Yeah. I liked some. Some are really great. Yeah.
These were all nuns, correct?
Yeah. I'll never forget. There's this. At first, you brought your lunch to school, and they brought in milk. And then later on, they had something down the basement for your lunch. They start serving lunch to everybody. So I started taking lunch. And it was terrible, but it took it anyway. And I like carrots, but I didn't like raw carrots. But one time, they had these raw carrots and these ugly-looking little sprinkly carrots, raw. Well, I wouldn't eat them. So I stuck them in my belt. I thought, I'll just put them in my belt. And then when I went out to play, this one nun noticed I had something in my thing. And she says, you didn't eat them carrots. And I said, no, I didn't want to. So I don't remember what I said. She says, well, you got to eat them. So I ate them. And then I went on inside. And there was a stairs to go down the basement from the front stairs. And as I went down the basement, everything came out. Serves her right. I mean, maybe I was allergic to them. You know, you got to be careful with kids. They're allergic to things, too. You can't make them do everything. And there was that. And I never ate lunch there again. And I don't know who cleaned that up. And it was a downstairs, so it was a real mess. I bet she never asked a kid to eat again. She wasn't that bad of a teacher, either. It was worse. It hurts.
You know, back then they wanted to make sure everybody ate everything. There was, I don't know.
That's true, but also you got to remember, children are allergic to a lot of things. You know, you got to be careful too. You know, I don't know. That's one thing my mother did. She never forced us to eat anything. We just ate what we wanted. Always had potatoes, so it was we never starved. Always had potatoes and meat. That's the German way.
So then high school, tell me about high school. Where'd you go to high school?
The academy up the street. That was way down the street on Madison Avenue. So I walked down there every day. And
what kind of distances are we talking about from your house to the Academy of Our Lady?
From home to Sacred Heart was like 5 or 6 blocks, long blocks. I walked that every day. And then the academy walked down the main street. And where the hotel Pure Marquette is, and then you go straight down towards the cathedral, and I would say that was 4 or 5 or 6 blocks there that way, and then there was the academy building is still there, and we went to school there. It was a nice building. They kept it up. Everything was good. Bathrooms were nice. School was clean. Yeah. So I went to school there, and I had some terrible teachers.
Really? Like how?
Okay. It was not only to me. It was to other children, too. This one teacher, I took science my freshman year, and she was late coming in because she had to take a late school. The mother superior had taught us, which I did pretty good with her. And she came in and she was saying, blue eyes are better than brown eyes. She says, I think people with brown eyes are not as good. And then here's half the class, the Syrians sitting there, you know, the kids in school with, you know. Can you imagine that, saying that? And I hear I'm sitting, I got blue eyes. And the other, can you imagine? But those kids, she gets up there and says that in front of that. And I didn't do well with her. I hardly could learn anything from her. And
that's not very Christian behavior.
Oh, it's terrible. She's awful. Can you imagine what the brown-eyed Syrian girls or whatever, really nice people. They're still in Peoria. Really great people. And anyway, I couldn't hardly learn from her, and I was having an awful time. And I got an F on my report card. Well, my mother just had fit that I had an F. You know, like nobody ever got an F before. Well, my dad signed the report card because my mother, she showed her power. Well, anyway, I got an F. Well, anyway, I made up my mind. I tried to study more. I don't know why it was so difficult. Well, this one girl, one day, she says, why don't we study together? I says, okay. She was real nice. She was ahead of me. And we sat. She asked me, and I asked her. She asked me. And for some reason or other, I really learned that a lot. And I've always been thankful for that. Well, I did real well on that test. And I really went over the book a lot. And I made up my mind I was going to pass that. And I did. I passed it. She'd have failed me. Okay. She's a terrible teacher. And I didn't like her. Nobody else did either, hardly. Okay. I took math. I took algebra first year. And I didn't do too bad in algebra. I sort of understood it. And if you did pretty well in algebra, you took geometry the next year. Guess who taught it? That horrid teacher. She taught geometry. And I thought to myself, I'll never pass. I could never pass anything with her because she was not a good teacher, you know. And I thought to myself, I didn't want to take that. So what I purposely did, I did not study for the algebra test. I purposely failed. Can you imagine a 14-year-old girl thinking like that? And I purposely failed the algebra. And the math teacher I had, well, she was really good at that time. The algebra, I really liked her. She was a good teacher. She's surprised that I failed the test. She says, well, you'll have to take general math the next year, which I wanted to do. I didn't have to take algebra. Oh, I can't believe what a burden it was. I would have never have gotten through geometry because I heard later on some of the kids in geometry how terrible she was. You had to learn theorems or something in the geometry, whatever they were. And the girls would say that she would ask a girl so-and-so theorem, and the girl would get up there. And then go back. And the teacher would say, you can't go back. You have to continue where you're at. How could anybody learn an environment like that? And I thought, boy, I'm glad I wasn't in there. And this was not me. I was not the only one. These were other girls I went to school with who talked about her. Well, she's a terrible teacher.
Yeah.
Well, what next? Well, tell me about a good teacher. I had the most wonderful clothing teacher in the world. It was worth going to the academy and school for the clothing I took. She was wonderful. She was great. She taught me to sew. She told me about different things that I had never even heard of, the color wheel. I had never heard of the color wheel before. And she told us about that. I learned about that. She taught me how to lay a pattern, cut out warp in the wolf of the material, you know. And she taught that. She was nice and kind. And, oh, she was just wonderful. It was worth going to school for her. Well, also, twice a week, I had double. I think on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we had a double for clothing. And during that time, I had, I could sit, you know, where, you know, you just went to school, study hall, like. And when I wasn't there, I was in this class for study. And so sometimes I'd be there and sometimes I wasn't there. And they came up one day and said that they wanted everybody, I was a senior then, and they came up and if gym classes were starting, you know, anybody who didn't have gym was to go down there, start gym. I did not get up. I sat there. I thought, I don't want to take gym. So I didn't get up. I never caused trouble. Nobody paid attention to me. You know, when you're quiet, you don't do much. I didn't get up, go to gym. And some of the other girls, they got up and went down. And they always hired the worst gym teachers they could find. I think they were idiots. Well, they were just, the way the girls talked later on, that they told me how terrible gym class was. It was just awful. So by me taking clothing and everything, I got out of that horrible gym class. They never did catch me. It's a wonder. But I never caused trouble, so
It's something I've skipped all this time towards the end of your grade school and into the beginning of high school. Uh-huh. The Second World War was going on.
Yes, and I went to the movies every weekend, and there was a lot of movies about World War II. And in church and around, you'd see a lot of uniforms in church, and you'd see a lot of uniforms around. And also there was a place around here that was an army thing. I forget what it's called now, but there's a lot of army base out that way. And you would see soldiers around, yeah. Yeah.
What was the conversation about the war at the time in Peoria?
Well, I don't know. People had stars. You'd put a star up if you had somebody in service, a Blue Star, if you had somebody in service. We had one Blue Star we put up. And if somebody was killed, you had a Gold Star. I don't know.
What did your kids talk about the war? Did you even talk about the war?
Not a lot. I don't think we did. I don't remember. I do think they had a place across the street from Sacred Heart. That's before all that got torn down. That they had a place where soldiers could come in and get cookies and stuff. That was across the street from Sacred Heart in there. Yeah, there was... Yeah, I don't know. Of course, my brother went in. He got drafted.
What did he do?
He was a sailor. He graduated in 1944 from Spalding, but he didn't turn 18 till that next year. So he had so they didn't draft him. Till he was out of school, I think for almost a year, and he got drafted in 1945.
Just as the war was coming to an end.
Yeah. Yeah, and he got drafted, and and we went down to the railroad station, said goodbye, and we didn't know where he was going or anything. Well, we got a call late that night. He told my dad, he says, I'm in the Navy. My dad was so grateful. He didn't want him in the Army, because the people in the Army were being really killed, you know. I mean, every newspaper is front page of people getting killed. And he got in the Navy. Him, and there was this other guy that he went to school with. He was with him, and they both, only other kid had not graduated yet from Spalding, but he was old enough that they drafted him. I don't know the crazy way they did things. So they both got in the Navy. And so him and his friend, they got in the Navy, and then as time went on, we one Sunday, we got on the rocket, went up to Chicago, and from there we took the train out to the Naval Center, Great Lakes. We went up, we saw him, and we saw his friend there. Yeah. And we found them, great, oh, a huge place. There's a lot of people there. Oh, it was great. Yeah, I saw that. And I can't remember his friend's name, but I don't think his friend, I don't think graduated from Spalding, of course he went on, he became a school teacher, and I guess he was teaching out up the road here. It was a great, great principal, so he became something too. He got to go to school. What was his name? And anyway, yeah, that, you know, I guess that was it. Yeah.
And then the war was over. Do you remember that?
Oh, Lord, yes. That was a big day. 1945, the war ended in Germany, in Europe. Yeah, it was a big day. Dad closed the store. We went down to the courthouse where the old courthouse was. Went down there. Everybody went down there and cheered and walked around. It was great. Yeah. So that's what we did that day. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And then, but we still had the war in the Pacific. Yeah. That didn't end until later. I can't remember. Was that 46? And then, yeah, I think it was. Yeah. So.
Do you remember them dropping the nuclear bomb?
Yes. In my opinion, yes, they should drop it. Because they didn't have to look at the newspaper every day. Like my dad and I, paper that big. And it was all full of pictures of the men who got killed. And if the war ended earlier because of that, yes. Saved American lives. How many people are alive today? Americans, because they dropped that. The bomb is horrid. And I think Truman told them it was a horror, he was going to do it. He told them, and they did not listen. And they dropped one, and they did not listen. Dropped another, and then they listened. So finally, the Japanese learned. Japanese are great people now. Every time we people lose a war against us, they get better. All you got, that's why Vietnam should have lost. They'd be built up like Germany now. They were foolish to lose. They should have won. We should have won, yeah. What else? This is my opinion, you know. Isn't that, yeah, so, I don't know. That's just my opinion of being a kid in World War II. Yeah. Yeah, so. Oh, we used to save cans. We used to have, you know, cans, food came in. You used to told us to save cans. You open up your can and you wash them out, and then you brought them somewhere. You save them. You had to wash them out, and then they turn them into whatever it was. They turn them into metal. They needed metal. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop it again.
Okay.
Let's finish it. Save it. Okay. So eventually, despite the fact that you on purpose failed some some tests, you graduated from the academy.
Yeah. I don't think I was last in the class. I was close. But I don't think that really means a lot. Mm-mm. There was a girl in our class who could not read. And I don't know how she ever got as far as she did. She could not read. You could see it was time for book read. She'd get all of the comic books and look at the pictures. Now, she was not stupid. She was a nice girl. And she wasn't stupid. I think the teachers kind of knew, but they didn't know. And what do you do if you did know? And I never liked that. They would ask her to read, and she couldn't hardly read. But yet she wasn't stupid. Yeah, but she got through. She's a nice girl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as time went on, I learned I think she had that dyslexia or
something. Dyslexia.
I think that's what she had.
Yes.
But how she ever got as far as she did is...
She's probably very, very smart.
Yeah.
And just kind of faked her way through it.
I bet she did. I was not real friendly with her. I just kind of felt sorry for her. But she was an artist. Her father was an artist, and she was an artist. So she went on to school to learn to be an artist, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Do you remember graduation?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember I graduated. I could remember we graduated from the cathedral up there. And I can remember they were playing Pomp and Circumstance. And I thought to myself, I'm going to remember this. They're playing Pomp and Circumstance, and I'm graduating. And I'm glad I put that in my mind, because I think about, well, I graduated with Pomp and Circumstance. When I hear that song, I always think of me graduating from school. Yeah. Yeah, so I graduated, got my diploma.
Did you guys go on a school trip or anything like that?
Yeah, we went to St. Louis one time and went down there and saw a school down there that the nuns from our school ran, and we got to see the St. Louis Cathedral. Yeah, we saw that. I think that was it. And then on the way back, the bus broke down. I think it was another bus and finally got home. I enjoyed it, though. Yeah, we had a good time. Yeah.
Do you ever go to Chicago?
Oh, yeah. When I was young, younger, my mom and dad went up to Chicago. This is, I think, before World War II. My dad wanted to see the Cubs play.
Yeah.
The big Cubs fan. So we took the train up to Chicago and found a place to live at. We stayed somewhere for two or three days, and we went to Wrigley Field, and then we went out to the White Sox what was the other? Comiskey. And we took the L, or whatever they called it, to Comiskey Park. We went to both of them. And I remember being at the Cubs Park. Of course, I didn't know what's going on. I didn't understand ball game. But I enjoyed being up there, you know, the ball game. Yeah, we went up there a couple of times. We went, a couple of times. We went once, 1 year, and then I think we went another year. I think we went at least twice, maybe three times. I'm not real sure. But I remember going up there. We stayed, and I remember riding the L, and I looked down, and I thought, oh, Lord. I look out the window. I hope the train don't fall over.
So when you graduated, mm-hmm. it was time for you to enter life as an adult.
Yeah, I didn't do too well.
So what was so what did you decide to do? What happened? What was that experience?
I didn't decide to do anything. I was dumb. Finally got a job. I got a job at Montgomery Ward. I had worked at Block & Cool one time, too. And I got a job at Montgomery Ward. I had also worked at Sears for a little bit. I got this job at Montgomery Ward, and I liked it. I really like wards. People were nice. The boss I worked for was nice. I really liked that place. That was really good. But at night, I decided I wanted to learn something else. So I learned how to do that, whatever I was called. And I worked at, I worked at Montgomery Ward for a couple of years. Yeah.
You and I have talked about this before. Uh-huh. Tell me about your experience at Ward's when you became the elevator driver.
Oh, God, it's just insane. Yeah, when I worked at Ward's, everybody was nice. And in Peoria, it was just normal for the black girls in Peoria to run the elevators at Block & Cool and Bergner's. I don't know, probably other places, too. Well, at one time, Montgomery Ward's had black girls. They were nice, older women, pleasant. You know, if you ask a question, they could tell you where different places were. Well, we got in this new manager. He was from the South, and he took one look at our elevator girls, and they were gone. They fired them. They were gone. And he looked around Peoria, and he hired two of young, about my age, flimsiest, didn't care whether I worked or not, didn't care about anything. He found two. Can you imagine two? Just run the elevator. Well, they didn't show up a lot. But Margie upstairs, she don't do nothing except answer the phone once in a while. So we'll call her down. So Margie would be called down to run the elevator, you know, once in a while. Well, I didn't mind that too much. It wasn't very often. Pretty soon it got to be pretty often. And I didn't like it. I didn't want to run that elevator. And so they called me up one time, wanted me to run the elevator, and I told him, I says, I wasn't hired in to run the elevator. I didn't want to run it. And he says, well, rah, 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 this is our school, rah, rah, we work together. And then I said again, but I wasn't hired in to run the elevator. I told him, I says, I don't want to run it. Well, you're fired. I said, okay, I'm going home. And my boss, my upstairs boss, who was great, one of the great bosses in the world, says, you stay here. I don't know how he heard what I was talking about. I was on the phone. And he says, you stay here. So he went down to talk to the assistant manager and told him that she didn't want to run the elevator because it made her sick. It didn't make me sick. So I got back on again. Insane. I have even seen the assistant manager run the elevator at times. I mean, they could have found somebody to run the elevator better than those two girls, but I bet they didn't pay them anything. I don't really know what there was just craziness the way they ran that store at that time. Yeah.
you kind of hinted on it. What was race relations like in Peoria at the time?
I didn't really pay any attention, Pat. I lived in the South End. There were black people there. There was good black people. There were nutty black people. I didn't really pay that much attention, you know. So I don't know. I think black people had to stay a certain place, though. And they weren't allowed to eat in restaurants, if I remember. But I was not into any of that. You know, what do I care? You know. That's, you know. Yeah, there was. I don't know.
Yeah. When you left Ward's, what happened? Where'd you go then?
Oh, I got a job out at Bueller's. I had this machine I had learned to run.
What is Bueller's?
Supermarket, like Kroger's. They had a bunch of stores in Peoria and all around the country. They had one out in, they had one off of university. They had one there. We used to shop there. And they had them around different places, Bueller Markets. They were nice. I shopped there. And I worked there for quite a while.
What was your job? What were your responsibilities?
I didn't have to run the elevator. No, I just did my work. They had bills. I had to check to make sure they were right. That's what I did. I did a good job. I was a good worker. I always worked.
I think what was interesting was you ran a comptometer, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I ran one of them.
Well, what's a comptometer?
Oh, I don't know. It's a machine. It's not electric. And it had, and when you looked at it, you could add on it up and down. But math is so complicated. By just having that you could add on it, you could multiply. You can divide just with numbers going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's fascinating. I was just fascinated by it. And I could divide. I could multiply. Yeah.
I think maybe you would have passed geometry.
Oh, I probably, if they had a good teacher. I had a good teacher, I could have. I'd never have passed with her, though. I can't remember things that well. Those terms, I never could remember them. Yeah, I wouldn't have. I might have understood geometry. But I was just fascinated by that. That a machine, that all it did, really, was add. But the way math is, you could subtract, do it a certain way and go it over this way and that way. You could subtract, you could add, you could multiply, and you could divide. Yeah. It was just unbelievable. Yeah. So I worked there for a while, and I met your dad, and we got married. And that was the end of my life. From then on, it was nothing but hard work. Just terrible. Nothing but hard work. And I thought I was hard before.
I think I'll stop it there.
Okay.
Denise just texted me.
That she ready?
The party's over, you know.